What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is Frank D, along with the Jackal. This is a special edition of the Gerb Report podcast on a Sunday night following the Ring of Honor Best in the World pay-per-view. Remember, if you want to look at the latest wrestling news, rosters, polls, and results, kick it to gerweck.net, gerweck.net, for all the latest pro wrestling news. You name it, we have it since 1997. We also have a vast library of audio content with the Gerb Report podcast. You can also listen to us on TuneIn. You can listen to the Diamond podcast, and you can also listen to the Body Slam podcast as well. So check all that out at gerweck.net, gerweck.net. But Jackal, what's going on tonight, my man?
Not much. Just finished watching the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. My first Ring of Honor pay-per-view that I actually ordered. Well, I guess it is their first pay-per-view, but first event that I've ordered from Ring of Honor, and it went pretty well for me.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing, man. I've actually never ever purchased a ROH event in my life, including their pay-per-views. I've heard a lot about the brand over the last couple of years, and decided tonight, you know, this is going to be their debut on pay-per-view. You know, give it a shot. Really been kind of down lately on the WWE product, been kind of down on the dead brand TNA's product as well. And decided to give it a chance tonight with ROH Best in the World. And right now, let's just give the listeners out there a little bit of a short recap review of the pay-per-view. First of all, the show emanates tonight from Nashville, Tennessee, in the old Tennessee State Fairgrounds, where TNA used to hold their Wednesday night pay-per-views. Back in the day, the venue was known as the TNA Asylum. Now, your first glance of the show tonight, I mean, as far as the arena goes, what did you think about the arena, and what did you think about the crowd?
Well, the crowd was pretty quiet tonight. It didn't look like they had a lot of fans there in the stadium. It looks like it went maybe four rows back is from a lot of the camera shots that they took. I've heard a lot of reviews on Ring of Honor productions or shows, and heard a lot about the lighting, and to me it did seem like it was very dark, dark in the arena. A lot of the camera shots from outside the ring that were going towards the inside of the ring, get the lights, you know, glaring in your face sometimes, so it just seemed like it was pretty dark in there and kind of hard to see some of the stuff that was going on.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree with you. It really looked really, you know, dark at times. Lots of shadows in the ring to me. And just the crowd tonight in Nashville, the crowd sucked. You know, I wish they would have, like, gone to an area where they really have a really, you know, rabid Ring of Honor fans. That's the fans that they needed to have on pay-per-view tonight, you know, their debut show. That's the people out there that needed to have and really show, you know, Ring of Honor is really to be taken seriously at this point, being on pay-per-view, and this was their first outing. I think the Nashville fans really did them no justice at all. And we're going to go ahead and open up the podcast here with the first match. Now, I actually didn't see this match because I was on my way home. I was at 24 Hour Fitness, so I didn't get a chance to see this opening match, but you did. And it was the six-man Man of Mayhem match for a future shot at Jay Lethal's Ring of Honor Television Championship. You had ACH versus Watanabe versus Caprice Coleman versus Tadarius Thomas and BJ Whitmer of the Decade versus Tommaso Ciampa, or Ciampa, whatever his name is. What did you think of this match?
There was a lot going on in this match, a lot of high flyers. The winner was ACH with a 450 splash, and he hit that pretty well. Looked pretty good, hitting that off the top rope. It was a pretty good match, pretty fast-paced, a lot going on.
Would you consider this match to be a, you know, technical match, or would you consider this to be pretty much a six-man spot fest?
Repeat that one more time. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Okay. I said, would you consider this match here to be a six-man, you know, technical match where, you know, they're telling a story, or would you consider this to be pretty much a six-man spot fest in which
six-man spot fest. It looked like there was a lot of spots going on. Yeah, a lot of high-flying maneuvers outside the ring, a lot of flying all over.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me during the, actually did a little bit of a replay a little bit, after the show was over. So that's what it kind of came up to me as, just a spot fest, opening match. But you know what? It got the, from what I saw, the little bit I saw when I came in, it got the crowd into it. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. But I really don't like those spot fest matches, because it just seems like instead of telling a story, they're going for shock. And, I don't really like those kind of matches myself personally. But,
yeah, I don't know if it would have been a match that I would have started the show with, to get the fans into it. I think something else would have been a better match to start the show off with.
Yeah. But nonetheless, ACH did win the match, and he will get a future ROH TV title match. I'm thinking either going to be on the Sinclair television show they do, or it's going to be on pay-per-view, one or the other, whichever comes up. The next match was actually for the ROH TV Championship. You have the champion, Jay Lethal, who was actually, this is the first time I've seen Jay Lethal in a while, and he was actually working heel. Unbelievable. You have Jay Lethal with, Truth Martini, and some fine ass female bodyguard they had out there. I mean, wow. This woman was hot. Versus Matt Taven. And I'll tell you one thing about the crowd in Nashville once again. Matt Taven didn't really get any type of a reaction whatsoever, when he came out there. He got no reaction. Jay Lethal came out. Jay Lethal was supposed to be playing the heel. But yeah, he got the, you know, pretty much the babyface reaction in my opinion. And me personally, I think they had, you know, they had some clumsy moments in this match. They had a couple of botched spots, a lot of botched, kicks on the rope that they were doing. It could have been a better match, and they tried, but ultimately, I mean, it just didn't deliver what I thought it was going to deliver from a Jay Lethal match.
Yeah, there was it was a lot of botches in the match. I did like the finish, Jay Lethal's finish, or a lethal injection, kind of like an RKO where he bounced off the ropes and backs into an RKO. Kind of looked interesting.
Yeah, that was actually, that was a pretty cool spot. And, you know, people call it the RKO. It, for me, it's always going to be the diamond cutter. And that's just how it is. We have the next match on the list here. It was, Roderick Strong taking on, Cedric Alexander in a submission match. This match here, man, I tell you, these guys went out there and worked their ass off. They did a spot in this match on the outside where, Roderick Strong, like, back body drop Cedric Alexander into the apron of the ring.
Yeah.
And that is something that it shocked the hell out of me when I saw it. I've never seen a spot like that. I've watched wrestling for years, okay? I've watched wrestling since I was, you know, 6-7 years old. I've never seen a spot like that in my entire life. You know, that was just crazy.
Yeah, tonight, actually in a few of the matches, few spots that I had never seen before, quite a few of them actually, stuff that I never seen before, and that match right there was one of them that, you know, that was highlighted, you know, the different movesets and different things that they're allowed to do in Ring of Honor, as opposed to if you were to watch a, you know, WWE show, you know, that they're not allowed to do some of the high spots or some of the moves that, you know, in Ring of Honor, when you tune in there, they got more of a leeway to do what they want.
Yeah, exactly. And Cedric Alexander actually defeated Roderick Strong in this match with the Stronghold submission. And after the match, Cedric Alexander tried to, you know, get Roderick Strong to, you know, pretty much accept the code of honor and shake his hand. And Roderick Strong looked like he might have been going for it, and he heel swerved him, said, "Nope, I'm not shaking your hand." So I doubt that this is the last that we've seen of these two.
Yeah, exactly. There's gonna be more going on here.
Absolutely. The next match on the card was the Briscoe brothers, Mark and Jay, versus Matt Hardy and Michael Bennett. And I thought this match, pretty much in the beginning of it, I thought it was really good. I thought they went out there and really wrestled hard, trying to tell a story. And all of a sudden, you know, before you knew it, I think it was Matt Hardy or somebody hit one of the Briscoes. I think it might have been with the belt. And the match was over. It was a DQ. And I'm like, and people, the fans were chanting bullshit. You know, Jay Briscoe, I believe, got on the microphone and said, you know, this is bullshit. People are right. This is bullshit. Get the people they want. And, hey, we got what we wanted. We got Nigel McGuinness come out there. And Nigel McGuinness, we started the match. And it was pretty much a brawl. This is what I wanted to see. Is because, you know, Matt Hardy, you know, with all his detriments, Matt Hardy was one of the guys who really, in the late 90s, early 2000s, him and his brother Jeff, along with the Dudley Boys and Edge and Christian, they really solidified their careers and their legacy with those tables, ladders, and chairs matches. And we kind of saw a glimpse of that tonight a little bit with the match with the Briscoes. And I don't know about you, man, but I thought it was a really, really good match. I thought these guys worked really well together, and that bump that Matt Hardy took out at the end, the finish, when he took the superplex off the ladder into the table, that was just crazy.
Yeah, this match I would probably say would be my pick for match of the night. You know, when they were gonna finish it with a DQ, and I was almost gonna be upset there, because you know it was a pretty good match already, and then.
Yeah.
Once they started it back up, it just kind of all went, it got crazy from there.
Yeah, it was
kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was a brawl, man. It was really a brawl. And, they worked their ass off tonight. And of course, you know, Matt Hardy took the fall here, because we all know that Matt Hardy is going to be working for TNA, the Dead Brand, coming up at the, NYC tapings this week, which is going to be very interesting now that, there's a new TNA World Champion, but we'll get to that in a little bit. The next match on the card was Mr. Wrestling Kevin Steen against Silas Young. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, when I looked at Silas Young tonight, I've never seen this guy before in my life. But when I looked at Silas Young reminded me a little bit of Chris Benoit. And,
yeah.
and his promo that he delivered before, in the video package that delivered before the match. He reminded me a lot of Benoit. And Silas Young, I mean, this guy, he's a heel. You know what I'm saying? But what I mean by that is, this guy is a heel that you haven't seen in years. Don't give a crap about the fans when he's out there. You know, this is really character development, in my opinion. This is how a bad guy wrestler should be. And I thought this match, these guys wrestled, was really, really good. I mean, for Kevin Steen to be as big as he is, this guy's pulling off cruiserweight type moves out there. Something he shouldn't be doing at all. He's doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Kevin Steen's a big man, and for him to be able to you know, jump over the ropes and do high spots like he does is different than what we see in other, you know, wrestling competitions. You don't really see the big man jumping over the ropes for these high spots. So it is definitely a good sight to see.
Oh yeah. And they had a pretty good match there. At the end there, Kevin Steen did win the match. He beat, you know, Silas Young, and pretty much Kevin Steen, you know, kind of delivered a speech at the end, in which he said that he respected Silas Young and all that, and that he was going to be leaving. He said his Ring of Honor contract is expiring, and there's been a lot of speculation lately, Jackal, that Kevin Steen might be WWE bound, NXT bound, and you know, he's working his last, you know, month and a half, I guess, with Ring of Honor. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've been reading on Gerwick.net just some of the rumors that he might be. I've read that Tough Enough is what he might be going to, which I don't think he needs Tough Enough, but for somebody that's kind of starting up, but yeah, I would say I don't think he needs to go to NXT. He'd be able to go right to the WWE roster, but I guess that would be WWE's call on that one.
Yeah, it pretty much is their call, but I don't think this guy needs to go down there. I mean, he might, you know, they're going to put him down there, but you know, bottom line is that, you know, they have a certain kind of a look they want, a certain weight they want. And I don't know if Kevin Steen actually fits that or not, you know, but hey, look at Bray Wyatt, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, surprise me, shock me, is what's going to have to happen there.
Kevin Steen kind of reminds me of another Bray Wyatt. He kind of has that Bray Wyatt look, so maybe that might be another reason. I don't know. Maybe Kevin Steen joining the Wyatts. Seems kind of, you know, he's got that look, but no, they might have their own thoughts of what they want to use him for in the WWE.
Right, and we have to wait and actually see if Kevin Steen even is going to even end up in Ring of Honor or not. I mean, or excuse me, WWE or not. We have to wait and see on that one. But after that match, like I said, Steen delivered a promo talking about he was going to be pretty much leaving Ring of Honor, and that it was, you know, and pretty much an honor to wrestle Savage Young. They both shook hands, and when you thought it was done, Savage Young was, you know, headed to the back, whatever. Savage Young came back out, clipped Kevin Steen's knee, and it began to attack him. So I pretty much doubt that this feud is over either. And I guess the end will come when Ring of Honor comes back to pay-per-view, whenever that's going to be. Next match on the card was a tag team match, one of the matches I was actually looking forward to. It was going to be here for the ROH World Tag Team Championship. You had Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, known as Red Dragon, taking on not the Bad Influence, the artist formerly known as the Bad Influence, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. And I tell you right now, to me, Kazarian and Daniels haven't missed a step since leaving TNA. What do you think?
No, they haven't lost a step. They still look good and still look like they got the it factor. I don't know why TNA would have let them go. That was a mistake on their part.
Absolutely. Yeah, they really came out there tonight, and Red Dragon, those guys I had never seen before. I don't, you know, the thing about, you know, living here in California, we don't get the Ring of Honor programming on Charter, so I can't get it unless I, you know, go on YouTube and subscribe to the ROH channel, which I do. But I've never seen Red Dragon tonight, or before tonight, and I have to say they really impressed me. They're really a cohesive unit, and they worked well together with the Bad Influence. And, you know, they're going to get better. They're going to have better matches than they did tonight. But tonight's, you know, showed me that the future was good with these two tag teams. And it's going to be very interesting to watch the Bad Influence chase the Red Dragon for the tag team championship. I thought that they did an excellent job tonight of telling the story, and all those multiple misses of the BME were kind of pissing me off, though. I wanted to see Christopher Daniels hit that, and they weren't allowing it.
Definitely Red Dragon, they were definitely a cohesive unit. They were working as a team. They had a lot of double team maneuvers, and it all looked pretty good. So I definitely say that they are they deserve to be tag team champions of where they're at right now.
Yeah. And that led us on to the main event for the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship. You had the defending and reigning champion Adam Cole take on Michael Elgin. And these guys pretty much delivered a fantastic match, very good match, lots of near falls there. It was at one point, man, where the fans thought Elgin won, and they started throwing the streamers in the ring. I thought he'd won. And they even had a guy in the crowd kind of remind you of the shocked fan at WrestleMania when Taker lost the streak. They had one of those moments going on there. I don't know if that guy was planted or not, but still, it was just like, really? But in the end, Michael Elgin defeated Adam Cole. Adam Cole's been the Ring of Honor champion for a while now. So I really, you know, didn't know what to think going into this. I really didn't think there was going to be a title change since, you know, Jay Lethal didn't lose his TV championship. I pretty much thought that, okay, we're not going to switch any belts tonight. And the tag team belts, you know, were retained by Red Dragon after they defeated the Bad Influence. So this match was good. Had some interference there from Matt Hardy and Michael Bennett at the end. But Michael Elgin is the 20th Ring of Honor champion. I think the thing that was kind of cool that I liked about this match in particular was a video package that they showed before the match, which showed past Ring of Honor champions. And I recognized three of those gentlemen when they showed, actually a couple of them I recognized Austin Aries. They showed him in the video, and they showed CM Punk, and they showed Bryan Danielson, and they showed my man Samoa Joe. So that was cool to see that. What did you think about this match tonight?
Yeah, the main event was it was a good match. At the finish where everybody thought that Matt Elgin had won, and all the streamers throwing in, I thought with that being a false finish, from that point on, I thought that Matt Elgin was going to lose. I thought, you know, with the big finish there, I thought Adam Cole was gonna take the win after that, but they put a swerve in there and Matt Elgin took it, and there was a lot going on with that match, and a lot of special finisher moves, and Matt Elgin pulled it out at the end. So it was a good match though.
Yeah, Michael Elgin did pull it off at the end and became the 20th Ring of Honor champion to close out Best in the World on a high note. Streamers and confetti all over the place. Really, Ring of Honor really did it up tonight. So congratulations to them on their very first outing on pay-per-view. I hope that it was successful for them. The guys really went out there and busted their ass and worked hard. I just wish that they would have been in a different venue than the Nashville Fairgrounds. And, one thing that I was kind of looking forward to tonight, I mean, they hadn't been talked about being there, but where was the Bullet Club tonight? Where was AJ Styles and Gallows and all the rest of the Bullet Club? I mean, I would have liked to have seen those guys come into the old TNA Asylum there and made some hell tonight, but that didn't happen. But it is.
Yeah, I would have liked to see it too, but I just, when the show started as it was going on, I kind of thought to myself, how could they fit these guys, what storyline or whatever could they fit these, AJ into? So I wasn't really expecting AJ to show up on the show, because wasn't sure how they would write him into the show. But then again, I haven't watched Ring of Honor, ever, so yeah. I don't know necessarily what was going on there. So, for AJ Styles to show up or Bullet Club to show up, I didn't know enough to, what's going on in Ring of Honor storyline wise, so I guess I wasn't expecting to see AJ Styles on the show tonight.
Overall, in impressions here, if you had to grade the pay-per-view, what was your grade be of Best in the World tonight?
I'd probably give it maybe a B minus, maybe B minus. I thought it was an action packed show. I just didn't like I said, the lighting. It was very dark, and the crowd just didn't seem like they were into it tonight.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a B plus for effort. Because I think the guys went out there and they worked hard. But once again, you have to call it like it is. I mean, we do the same thing with the WWE. And we we're very, very critical of TNA. So, the lighting was a problem. It was too dark. They had some kind of, almost like Sin Cara mood lighting going on out there.
Yeah.
And you had the people in Nashville just really, you had people that don't really, they buy tickets, but they don't really follow the product. And it showed tonight. With some of the fans out there. You had some good chance, you had a lot of bad chance, and you had people not chanting at all. And, I really think that it hurt the show, but overall, I think the guys went out there and gave it 100%. Like I said, earlier on in the Jay Lethal, Matt Taven match, it was some botches there. They had to get their rhythm going, their chemistry going, but all in all, they pulled it through. And, I'm looking forward to seeing what else Ring of Honor has. Hopefully next time they do a show, it will be in the Hammerstein Ballroom. Or something like that, where there are hotbed rabbit fans, and we'll get to see the Bullet Club next time on Ring of Honor Wrestling. I know you're asking the question when the show was going on. You were talking to me about the streamers. A lot of people who had never seen Ring of Honor Wrestling. What's up with the streamers? Well, the streamers is basically a sign of respect that the fans have. You get a lot of streamers, fans respect you. If you get no streamers, they pretty much don't know who you are and don't give a damn about you. So we saw tonight that I like the streamers. I think the streamers are cool. It's something different. It'd be kind of cool if WWE had that in their video games, to be able to do those streamers. Yeah. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good show, and like I said, I can't wait to see what else Ring of Honor has. Let's switch topics real quick before we close out here to TNA Dead Man Impact Wrestling. they had a title change the other night on Impact, in which Eric Young, who had been, besides Maggot Magnus, had been the lowest rated TNA champion of all time. They actually got a bump in the ratings this week, and Bobby Lashley is the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion as they head into the New York tapings. What do you think about that?
Bobby Lashley. Well, I mean, TNA tried to make it big news, sending out a lot of press releases and trying to let the world know that Bobby Lashley is their champion now, but I don't see it doing much difference. You know, still they're still a dead brand. They're still, you know, polling their fans to find out, you know, what the fans want as far as a six-sided, four-sided ring. You know, it's just a dead brand. But, you know, Bobby Lashley being a champion, you know, it's different. It's different for the company, but I don't know if it's what they need right now.
Yeah, I agree. Bobby Lashley winning the championship, it doesn't really do anything for me except it got the butt off of Eric Young, is what it did. And, you know, Eric Young, it wasn't Young's fault, but it's like, you know, you take a guy who's been a comedian, a comedic act in the company for years, and you make him your world champion just because, you know, another promotion makes another guy the world champion who has a very similar look of Eric Young. Daniel Bryan. TNA, you know, they went ahead and put the belt on Young for that reason alone. So now that Bryan is no longer champion, TNA rushed for a title change with Bobby Lashley when they could have just done that at Slammiversary. So it's kind of like the people who, you know, paid $34.95 for the TNA show at Slammiversary that didn't get the title change got the title change for free on Impact. And, you know, really, you know, I'm going to say this, and then we're going to, you know, close out the broadcast here. I'm going to say that, you know, Ring of Honor tonight, you know, $24.95 was the asking price for the show. Probably $10 more with the HD feed. You really have to justify in the future here, now that the WWE Network is in play and the WWE has pretty much changed the landscape of pay-per-view as far as sports entertainment and professional wrestling goes, with the price change from, you know, paying $44.95 to now paying $9.99 a month, you really have to justify why I'm paying $24 for Ring of Honor or paying $34 for TNA.
Yeah, definitely. You know, for me to pay the $4.95 tonight was, I thought about it for a few days before I actually did it today, but, you know, I wanted to try it out, wanted to try out a new event. So, you know, I get into my pocket and spent the $24.95, and you know, I think it was worth $24. I guess I wouldn't, in the future I probably wouldn't pay that until they're a little bit more known, better lighting, you know. But, otherwise, yeah, $24.95 isn't a bad price, but yeah, $9.95 on the WWE Network, it does make it a little bit harder to go and purchase a pay-per-view especially for a company that I've never watched before, never ordered a pay-per-view before. Yeah, so it was a little bit of a risk, but not really, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I pondered with it myself, but I'm like, you know, the hell with it. Let me go ahead and try to support this other brand. And, I did that tonight. And I don't have any regrets about ordering it. I thought they, you know, did a pretty good show tonight. Just they need to work on those production values a little bit and, look a little bit better than, their nearest competition. They're not competition to WWE by no means, but they are a little bit of competition to TNA Impact Wrestling, the dead brand. And, you know, you gotta really up your production values and get that lighting together. And I also think they need to get some, you know, better music personally. That's just me. You need to have theme songs that identify the wrestler that's coming out to the ring. And I don't think that the theme songs that justify that. I think they need to do that. And it would also be cool if, the screen that they were using, I'm not sure if they were playing entrance videos on that or not. but they definitely need to get some entrance videos up for their wrestlers when they come out to the ring. I mean, even even TNA has, you know, even, I mean, they have sucky entrance videos, but they have entrance videos, nonetheless. So you know, what do you think?
I mean, Ring of Honor, they did they did what they could to try and make the production better tonight. I guess they do have a long way to go, to make it better for the fans. But I believe that they're aware of how the fans feel about their lighting. Heard from, you know, other podcasts as well, or other people on Twitter, just, you know, they're aware of lighting and the production problems, and they tried to do what they could for the pay-per-view, but they are a long way from where they need to be.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Jacko, we're going to go ahead and close out the broadcast. I want to thank you for coming up tonight and, coming up with me tonight and giving your insight and your opinion on tonight's Ring of Honor Best in the World. We here at GURG.net appreciate that. We appreciate all you do for us on Twitter as well.
It's my pleasure.
And for all those of you listening out there, you can listen to the GURG Report podcast on TuneIn. You can also listen to it streaming off of GURG.net. And also remember that you can listen to the Diamond Podcast, the Body Slam Podcast, and you can look at all the latest pro wrestling news, rosters, results, everything on GURG.net. I am Frank D, and I'll catch you on the next one.